You ever get the feeling that everything in America is completely f***ed up?
Now, they're saying I should think stuff like this. They're saying something is wrong with me.
Practice.
Before I get into today's topic full on, let me make a statement right off the top that hopefully cannot be misconstrued, because I know once I start talking, I'm going to say some things that some may find offensive, some may find objectionable, and so I want to make sure that there's no miscommunication right off the top. So with that said, the official statement from Positive Cynicism regarding the Charlottesville riots that happened this past weekend is this: there is no place in our society for any form of hatred, racism, white supremacy, Nazism, any and all hatred is not welcome in the society that I want to live in. As someone who leans probably a little more conservative than liberal, those people that were in Charlottesville for the Unite the Right, or whatever their organization march was called, do not represent my views. They do not, I think, represent the views of many in the conservative spectrum that I am, that I follow, that I know. They are a fringe element that any self-respecting person distance themselves and condemns their actions wholeheartedly. This hatred cannot be tolerated at any level. Now, with that said, that hatred is not the only hatred that is going on in America right now. But for some reason, it's that hatred that gets magnified. It's that hatred that is linked to an entire demographic of people, including the president. And by listening to news media, by listening to social media, one would get the opinion that this is a nationwide representation. And I'm not denying that there probably are, there almost certainly are, pockets of groups like this all over the country. Maybe I am being naive. I choose to not think that they are as prevalent as it would seem. I hope I am correct. But this hatred, as I said, is not a one-way street. It's not only hatred that is coming from white supremacists, Nazis, that is infecting our country. And I have tried to stay away from politics on the podcast, even though when I had the initial idea for this podcast late last year, it was going to be very politic-centric, because I felt it was an important topic to discuss. Unfortunately, over the last year, politics has just become such a, not even a hot-button topic, but a topic that I am just so sick of, because of the way that there is no communication in when it comes to political ideas. And even this show right now, what I'm about to say, I wish I had a guest on this week. Unfortunately, due to timing issues, I wasn't able to find someone to come on, because I would rather have a discussion than ramble on for the next 30 to 60 minutes and throw out a one-sided opinion. And I've stayed away from politics because in my thinking, in my rationale, I feel like I'm becoming a Trump apologist, and I don't want that to be the case. Just like if someone else was in the office of president, I wouldn't want to be an apologist for them or a constant critic of theirs either. I would hope to be balanced in my opinions, balanced in my in the views that I share. But much like the tipping point for me everything that I see on a daily basis is very negative towards Trump, towards conservatives. And I feel, in my contrarian nature, I almost feel like I have to go in the opposite direction. So then I feel like I'm making excuses, or I'm trying to justify actions that shouldn't be justified. And so I stay away from politics for the last few months. So what I'm about to say, I'm not trying to make apologies. I'm not trying to justify anything. My attempt is to show both sides of an argument, hopefully in a cohesive manner, that then you, the listener, can take and form an educated opinion based on what I say, or inspire you to go and research something to find out something you may not be familiar with. So while I condemn all the actions that took place this past weekend in Charlottesville, while I condemn white supremacy, Nazis, racism of any kind, I've never understood racism. I hate a lot of people. I freely admit that. But I choose to hate people based on the merit of the person, not the group of which they are inclusive of, with the exception of hipsters. I just can't get into skinny jeans and man buns. I don't get it. But I also feel like there is so much hate coming from the opposite side of the aisle that gets justified simply because of who the sitting president happens to be. And I think I mentioned it on a previous episode when I had Kevin Huntsberger from the My 1-2-3 Cents podcast here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network, cheap plug, when we were discussing the media's role in politics. I said, you know, ever since election night 2016, there was never a period of, okay, Trump won, we're not happy, let's give him the benefit of the doubt. Let's see what happens. Let's reorganize. And in 2020, try to reclaim the White House. Instead, it has been hate after hate after hate for Donald Trump. It has been protest after protest, march after march. You have sitting elected officials that on an almost daily basis go on television or on Twitter and say it is only a matter of time before Donald Trump is impeached. And then when pressed to provide evidence that they will use in the impeachment, say, well, we don't have solid evidence yet, but it's only a matter of time. We will get something. It's been 8 months since Donald Trump went into office. If there was evidence that was solid enough to impeach him, the way this talk has been going on since January, and with all the leaks that have come out over the last 8 months, surely by now there would be some hard evidence out there in the public. Instead, everything is speculation. It's hopeful wishfulness. And again, if there is evidence, get it out there. Impeach the man. I don't care if he has done something to break the law, to disqualify him from presidency, take suitable action. But if all you're doing is hating on him and wanting him out of office because you don't like him, shut the fuck up or produce evidence. And I say this to kind of segue into this topic, or the next point, is the hatred for Donald Trump is so intense that no matter what he does, it's never going to be the right thing. Very few of his critics will actually give him credit for doing something that he should have done. I mean, you can look at the James Comey firing. You know, as Kevin and I again commented on the episode, Democrats had blamed Comey for months for Hillary losing the election. They were, you know, thought that he overstepped his bounds by making a statement right before the election. He was not a favorable person to the Democrats. And then once Trump fired Comey, Comey became this grand hero scapegoat who was heralded and victimized because of Trump's firing. No action, nothing Trump does will be good enough. Case in point, the statement he released regarding the Charlottesville riots. President Trump initially made a comment that said, "We condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence on many sides." On many sides. And this was not a good enough statement, because, according to his critics, because he did not single out Nazis, he did not single out white supremacists and condemn them specifically. Which, yes, I agree. Given the organization that was promoting this protest that was happening, it would have been better suited to call them out to make sure that they understood exactly what was being condemned. And I do think I'm going to give President Trump a little too much credit maybe on this, but I also think his statement is correct, that there is many sides of hatred going on right now, and none of it is acceptable. None of it can be tolerated. Hatred in any form, and I'm going to sound just like Trump, but hatred in any form is bad. End of point. So when a story like this happens, immediately an entire group of people are grouped into this fringe element. And now, reading through social media, and even in some news stories online, Trump is being blamed for the rise in white supremacy. White supremacy, anyone who voted for Trump is once again being labeled a racist, much like anyone who disagreed with President Obama over 8 years was deemed racist. For some reason, separating personal idea from groupthink isn't possible anymore. Unless, of course, it comes from the other, something happens on the other side that would be a negative attribute to a group of a large group of people, then it is the actions are only attributed to a minor group or a, you know, when you have the terrorist attacks that have happened in Europe over the last year, it's always a lone wolf. It's never, if anyone insinuates, you know, that Muslims are to be blamed, or the Muslim religion is to blame, those on the left will condemn that action and say, no, Muslim is a nation, a religion of peace. These are people acting on their own accord. And I agree that an entire group of people should not be condemned for the actions of a few. It's just funny that when it's okay, when it is deemed okay to group large groups of people and blame the actions of the few on the entirety of a group, and when it isn't okay. Case in point, throughout the campaign season of 2016, after Donald Trump became the Republican nominee, there were several protests at his rallies. There were individuals who either caused physical damage to property or harassment to people showing up to the rally in support. And those actions were either downplayed, attributed to just the individual, or blamed on Trump himself for using rhetoric that incited the protesters. It was never, very rarely was the actions seen as a larger reflection of the anti-Trump movement. And in the wake of President Trump being inaugurated and taking office, there have been several events at college campuses where conservative speakers were going to speak, and people in opposition to those views tried to shut down the speakers. In Berkeley, I believe it was Ann Coulter and Milo, I can't pronounce his last name, Yiannopoulos, who had their speeches canceled because the university deemed them unsafe. I believe it was in Portland where the Antifa movement, the anti-fascist, which is an ironic name considering that their whole purpose is to eliminate any type of ideology that they don't agree with, which would in part make them fascist. They have had several protests with destruction of city property, and have had there was an annual parade that was canceled because the city deemed it unsafe. I want to say it was because there was going to be a conservative group in the parade, and they deemed that they could not offer protection. During Trump's inauguration, there were protesters that were vandalizing, damaging buildings, setting things on fire, trying to stop people from getting to the inauguration. And the media labeled them as peaceful protest. So my question is, why does one side get a pass on violence, on destruction, and another side gets an entire group of people lumped in and criticized and demeaned for a small group's extremist views? And again, I iterate that I don't want to be a Trump apologist. I have said from episode one of this podcast, if you don't like Trump, I understand. There's plenty not to like. If you don't agree with his ideology, his policies, understandable. But whether you like him or not, violence is not the answer. And if you support him, violence is not the answer to any situation. But it just seems that violence is the only action to get a reaction. I've lost my train of thought here, so I'm going to jump to another point that I wanted to make. And that is, over the weekend that all this rioting was going on, someone had posted on Twitter a picture of the Nazis behind a barricade and a black police officer standing in front, guarding, looking like he was protecting them, keeping them away from the other protesters. And the comment was something along the lines of, "This makes me sad. This shows..." It didn't say this shows how bad America is, but the sentiment was, you know, this shows why we are not a good country. Correction, looking it up, the caption on the tweet was, "Confederate flags, Nazi salutes, and Klansmen having their rights protected by a black police officer. This picture hurts." And I understand the sentiment the person who tweeted that was trying to say. But I took it a different way. And reading some comments on the initial tweet, there were a few other people who had the same view as I did. It actually shows why America is a great country. Because we have the freedom and the right to be assholes and still be protected. I don't think anyone is going to necessarily agree that we should be assholes, but if you want to be, you are protected under our laws to be so. And I'm of the opinion that if you want to be an asshole, then do it in public. Embrace your complete assholeness. Because I would rather know you are and be able to judge you based on that fact than for you to keep it secret and fool me into thinking you're something else. You know, it's the old adage of better to be hated for who you are than loved for who you're not. But again, that's what makes America, America. Recently in Germany, two Chinese tourists were fined and arrested for taking photos of each other giving Nazi salutes, because Germany has an anti-Nazi law, which is completely understandable given the history of Germany. But it's one of those things that when you start dictating behavior, you cannot legislate morality. And when you take away that right to be offensive, you're not changing mindset. You're not even really changing behavior. You're just hiding it. You're pretending it doesn't exist, but it doesn't go away. So again, that's why if they want to hold these white supremacist rallies and protests, let them. And if you're in a town that is holding one, go down and look at it and see who's there. See if you recognize anybody so that you know, hey, there's Jim. I'm not going to hang out with Jim anymore. I don't agree with him. Or after the rally, go up to Jim and say, what the fuck, dude? Why do you believe this? Why do you have this opinion? I'm going to bet he's not going to change your mind or offer up a valid explanation. But instead of resorting to violence, talk, try to find out why he feels the way he does. And then maybe offer better evidence against his opinion and try to sway his opinion. Then instead of attacking him and using violence to change the situation.
Hey guys, Brian Toll, coordination.com, part of the Five Heart Podcast with Greg Mahochko. You can hear here on jitterymonkey.com. We talk all Nebraska sports and we do it for free. That's right, we don't charge you a arm and a leg to get bad hot takes behind a paywall. Recruiting news, football news, basketball news, baseball news, and all your Husker sports for free. Right. That's right. Go to coordination.com, part of the SB Nation, and also check out the Five Heart Podcast on jitterymonkey.com with me and Greg Mahochko.
Welcome back after that awkward commercial break. I really need to start recording these shows all in one sitting so that I know what I said. But since I took a break, I didn't remember where I left off. So threw in that commercial break. Be sure to listen to all the other shows here on the Jittery Monkey Podcasting Network besides the Five Heartbeat podcast with Greg Mahochko. He also does Nerds United, and then you have Kevin Hunsberger's My 1-2-3 Cents podcast. Check those out. Good listening all around. Where were we? Nazis are bad. Nazis are evil. Racism sucks. Yet, at the same time, hatred for the sake of hatred also sucks, and it's being done by the opposite side, and I don't understand where this mentality comes from. Where did we go wrong in our society to state that if someone doesn't agree or has different opinions, the natural instinct is to vilify them instead of having a discussion, having or even sensible opposition? And by that, I mean that with difference of opinions nowadays, instead of trying to figure out a common ground between two people, the first course of action is to vilify and demonize someone so that once you make them toxic, you no longer have to take their opinion seriously. If someone comes out using examples from our current political landscape, if someone comes out and supports a reform on immigration, well, instead of figuring out what their ideas for reform are, it's easier to label them racist and claim that they just don't want any Mexicans, which I'm air quoting because Mexican has become kind of a catch-all for all Hispanics, which I think is a little racist in and of itself. But if you can label the person who wants the immigration reform as racist, then you nullify their opinion on the topic by simply stating that they just hate people who aren't American. Same goes with, recently President Trump came out and said that transgendered people would not be allowed to serve in the military. And it's amazing how many political experts are out there in the world. Because then Twitter, Facebook, all became a haven of opinions that this is wrong, and if anybody wants to serve, they should be allowed to. And anyone who would be opposed to that is now transphobic or homophobic or any type of phobic, instead of initiating debate of, okay, well, why is this, a idea that seems legitimate or illegitimate? What process can we do to rectify and figure out a different solution? And then there's the commonality of what we're seeing now is anyone who supported Trump or voted for Trump is automatically labeled a Nazi, racist, stupid, just instead of trying to understand why someone would have voted for Trump over Hillary or Gary Johnson, which there are several reasons in and of themselves that any one of those candidates could have either been voted for or voted against. But it's simply the bare basic reaction is to go negative. And that negative outlook, again, spreads all over social media. And I think I'm combining two trains of thoughts into this podcast. One, the original idea that I had, and instead of the one that I started off with just condemning Nazism, because Nazism is, again, there is no place for Nazism in our society. However, the Nazis aren't the only ones that are destroying our society. And I see this in social media, which has really led me to try to scale back on social media usage. It's an addiction. I can't quit it as much as I'd like. But you see things on Twitter, on Facebook, especially Twitter, which is a wider audience. And a couple weeks ago, there was President Trump was at some speech or some gathering, and video came out of him ignoring a small child who was trying to shake hands. And people started tweeting that the video and being like, oh, look, here's Trump ignoring this kid. And then that tweet gets retweeted and liked hundreds of thousands of times. And then when actual full video comes out that shows Trump shaking the kid's hand at the beginning of the event, and then later on not shaking his hand, I guess. And even when the kid's mom comes out and says, no, Trump did not ignore my kid, and I believe the kid was special needs, and the mom's like, the kid was just trying to show off his new pen or whatever the situation was, it wasn't what was portrayed in initial tweets against Trump. And then when people who had tweeted out the negative tweet, when they made the correction, only a few hundred people retweeted or liked the tweets. And same goes, like, today as I record this, there is a tweet showing President Trump with one of the Nazis at the Charlottesville gathering. And, you know, it's like, oh, look, here's this guy with President Trump showing that Trump supports Nazis. That tweet gets, you know, retweeted and liked hundreds of thousands of times. Then when someone catches on and says, no, that's actually Photoshopped, here's the actual photo of Trump with someone else, well, then the correction doesn't get out there as wide. So I'm not going to use the popular term for that Trump likes to insinuate in these situations. But I think that speaks to a larger problem that we have going on in today's society of poor responsibility. It's before something is fact-checked, before something is verified, if it goes along with a preconceived opinion, automatically throw it out there. And then when it turns out to be a lie, well, oops, bad, sorry. Sorry about that. But the lie is already out there and it already is in people's conscience. So when something happens or something, when misinformation gets disseminated, you can't take it back. You can't make people forget what they saw. And I think that is kind of the root of where we are today with the white supremacists and the Nazis is during the campaign, the media started promoting Trump having ties to or support from Nazis and white supremacists. And it became a topic that, if it has been proven beyond a shadow of a doubt that Trump has endorsed white supremacy or spoken to white supremacists knowingly and positively, I am unaware of such situations. I know, you know, there's a case where David Duke endorsed the former, I believe he was a Grand Wizard politician, who endorsed Trump, and then Trump didn't disavow the endorsement quick enough to some people's liking. But this idea of Trump being tied in with Nazis has become in the social conscious. And so when these Nazis show up, and even if they do support Trump, the anti-Trump crowd automatically assumes, oh, well, all Trump supports them and this is his base, and so the conservatives support the Nazism. It's a way, again, of demonizing and trying to vilify a person based on an idea that isn't fully accurate. And that's part of the reason why on this podcast I end every show by saying question everything. Because information that is being thrown out there, it's a shame that we have gotten to this point where we have knowledge at our fingertips. The world is such a interconnected, smaller place now than it used to be. But there's so much false information being spread that people readily accept. Without thinking about it, just simply because it adheres to the opinion they already have. I'm trying to get back onto the initial topic. Again, it's, if these Nazis were the only people out there causing havoc, then fine, let's eradicate the Nazis. Let's bring back Indiana Jones and he can fight them off again. But they're not the only ones out there. We need to take down and eradicate the Antifa movement. We need to stop any type of protest that leads to censoring ideas, censoring thoughts. Whether you agree with someone or not, censoring is never the right option. Education, learning, educating yourself as to what, why people have views that they do. We are a giant nation of millions of people from different backgrounds. And those backgrounds shape who we are. But oftentimes, those backgrounds, because they are different, because there's the segregation of lifestyle of urban versus rural, it's a separation based on stereotype. And instead of, again, trying to come together as one and understand our differences and focus on what unites us, it is easier to criticize, demonize, nullify different opinion, and then separate ourselves from anyone who is different. And I think it's a real shame. And I wish I had an answer, and I don't. So I'm just going to close because I know that I have just rambled on, and hopefully some of this made sense, and hopefully you understand what I'm trying to say. And again, I want to encourage discussion. I don't even want to say I encourage debate. I'd rather encourage discussion. And so if you think that I am completely in the wrong in what I've said, and want to try and educate me as to why you think so, again, you can find me on Twitter at Chad Smart, ChadSmart. You can go to Facebook. Positive Cynicism has Facebook page. Like the page. Send me a message. I would love to engage in discussion about this or any other topic that you want to talk about, because I think discussion is the real key to fixing our society. And I'm just going to close with something that I heard the Virginia governor, I believe Terry McAuliffe, say when he was addressing the community. And it's what I have encouraged you listeners who have been listening for the last 8 months to do. And it's get involved. Go out, help, volunteer at a homeless shelter, volunteer at a women's shelter or Big Brothers, Big Sisters, anything that you can do to give back to society. And I will admit that I am a huge hypocrite in this area because I have been encouraging this. I've been saying this for the last 8 months and I have not done anything myself. And I really need to step up to the plate. But I just, in the hate, And in addition to that, I really detest slacktivism, which is just going on social media and saying, voicing an opinion of hatred or support for whatever organization, and then not doing anything to follow up on it. So I encourage you, don't be a slacktivist. And the next time you go on social media and you start to repost something negative towards the other side, or say something negative about someone that doesn't share the same opinions as you, stop and ask yourself, do I need to throw this out there into the cyber world? Am I doing something good by throwing this out there, or am I just spreading the hate that is consuming our country right now? Just do something positive and question everything. But mostly, do something positive. All right, this week was a little heavy. Next week, probably going to go completely different and do something the opposite, very lighthearted. No, I don't know. Maybe we'll discuss why Saved by the Bell is the greatest television show ever made. Or I'll recap the Corey Feldman concert that I went to this week, which was such an event. If Corey Feldman is ever performing near you, you don't think you need to go, but you really, really do. But just remember, do something positive, question everything, and I'll leave you with a little musical number to close out this week's show, which I think is necessary and appropriate, and just kind of lighten the mood. This is Corey Smith, singer from Georgia, and the song's called I Love Everybody.
I can tell whenever I travel outside of the South, people stereotype me a little bit. They hear me talk with a Southern accent, and they start making a lot of assumptions about me. They find out that I play country-ish music, and they make even more assumptions about me. This song is my way of saying, screw their assumptions. It's like a grown-up version of Jesus Loves the Little Children. It's unofficially titled, I Love Black People. You can say I'm just a good old boy, dipped in the bed of country pride, washed in the blood and wrapped in camouflage, staunch defender of the right side. I grew up accustomed to the rebel flag under the shadow of the cross, down where the colors never mix too well, and some folks are still mad 'cause the South had lost. But I'm a good-hearted, free-thinking son of a gun. I may talk a little trash, but I don't love black people. I love brown people. I love Muslims and Jews, Hindus and atheists too. Yes, I love everyone. I love gay people. No, I'm not afraid, people. I may sing with a draw, keep a little slack in my jaw, but I love grounded and strong. That little town off of the interstate, it's the only place I'll ever call home. But I've been
Chick-fil-A people. I may sing with a drawl, keep a little chew in my jaw, but I love everyone. Listen here now, it ain't the cornbread or the collard greens, sweet tea or barbecue, the country music on your radio or the gospel in the pew. It ain't your boots, it ain't your old blue jeans, the tractors that you drive, it ain't the rifles or the fishing poles or the slower pace of life. It's how we treat our neighbors, that makes us who we are. I love black.
This is a production of the Jittery Monkey Podcast Network. For more jittery shenanigans, go to jitterymonkey.com.